Good morning. This is Birdie, and I will be reading the Decatur Herald and Review for January 28th, 2020. The first article is entitled Instilling Kindness. Decatur, St. Teresa students challenged to be kind 5,000 times over. When Zachary Freedom began his presentation at St. Teresa High School on Monday. It was obvious the students thought they were just there to hear the singer-songwriter perform. He chose five students to come up to the front for an air guitar solo contest, which got a lot of laughter going, and then told them about his wife and four sons, showing a photo on the screens in the all-purpose room that made several students say, "Aw," at how cute the four little boys are. He told them the youngest, Titus, has a nickname, Raging Bull, because he's so challenging. Then he hit them with the hard stuff, a video about his son Zion and the child's two open-heart surgeries. Without saying a word, Freedom let the video do all the talking for him. Zion has a congenital heart defect that will affect him for the rest of his life and could cause debilitating effects, even death, without warning. After the video, to complete the silence, Freedom said, "There's a lot you don't know about this person sitting beside you." "Each day is a gift," he said. "You never know what someone else is dealing with or when an accident, like the Sunday helicopter crash in California that killed Kobe Bryant and eight other people, might take someone's life. We live in a day-to-day age where it is all about me," he said. "Some of you don't even realize you're craving approval from others. All you want is attention. You want to be recognized. You want to be loved. That's what it all comes down to. Kindness," he said, "comes from love. It has its roots in the purity of doing something for others with no exception of recognition or reward." And he gave them the challenge: over the next 15 days to perform 5,000 acts of kindness and log them into a journal. It can be something as small as smiling at someone and meaning it, or something like forgiving someone who has hurt them. The students will also collect gently used sneakers to be sent to third world children who have no shoes as part of the kindness challenge. Freedom said he could arrange to send them a video of the group delivering the sneakers to young people in Africa. English teacher Mary Davis, who is also the faculty advisor for the Students Against Destructive Decisions chapter at the school, which organized the event, said Freedom's appearance was paid for by the Samuelson Yelovich Foundation, formed when Matthew Yelovich and Anthony Samuelson were killed by a drunk driver in 2008. The foundation gives annual donations to SADD chapters and several local high schools, and to the Boys Elementary School, Holy Family, and Our Lady of Lourdes. Funds for the foundation are raised through an annual golf outing. Steve and Sharon Samuelson, Anthony's parents, were at the event Monday. Anthony was a graduate of St. Teresa. "At the beginning of the year, we asked the SAD members what they wanted to wanted the focus to be, and they wanted it to be a very positive feeling of kindness," Davis said. "We just kind of go through life and rush through things and don't take the time to be kind to each other. So that becomes the focus of our whole year. And it was to look for ways to instill kindness." Noah Hayes, a freshman who won the air guitar contest, said he didn't know what to expect when the assembly started. "By the end of it, it was probably one of the best assemblies I've ever had in my whole life," Noah said. He was really enthusiastic about what he was talking about, and he was really relatable, and just kind of got my attention. He was also confident that the students can log 5,000 acts of kindness in 15 days. "If we all pull together, we can do anything," he said. Contact Valerie Wells at 217-421-7982 and follow her on Twitter at Mod Girl Reporter, and she is the one who wrote this article. Decatur Schools, Montessori transition discussed. District 2's programs combining next school year in new facility. Decatur. Students will see some major changes in August when the Decatur School District's two Montessori programs combine, including a new facility, more teachers, and potentially a new principal. Garfield and Enterprise students next year will merge into one Montessori program housed in the former Thomas Jefferson Middle School building as part of the district's Bold Facilities Plan. The wide-ranging plan will reduce the district's facilities from 22 to 17, which comes with major renovations and construction for some schools. We are committed to having a quality Montessori flagship program here in Decatur, Superintendent Paul Frego said. We want to have a program where people will come to look at Decatur as the example of how you do Montessori education in not just Illinois, but the Midwest and the entire United States. Jeff Days, Assistant Superintendent for the Teaching and Learning, started the meeting with a presentation on test score data. Speaking after the meeting, he said the presentation's purpose was to show the district what students do have to smooth transition into high school. Montessori was not created off of testing kids. It's hands-on. Students become independent, Days said. The structure for assessments was never part of Montessori. He said the concern lies in the students not being prepared for high school when they have to take the ACTs or SATs. Kathy Briggs, president of the Garfield Parent Teacher Association, said she had concerns for the integrity of the program if the district follows through with its plan. She said the three triangles that make up Montessori philosophy include the home, school, and child. I do believe that they want to keep that, said Briggs, a parent of three students in Decatur Montessori programs. I don't believe that somebody who knows what the Montessori philosophy is in the room making decisions. The transition plan presented by the district Monday includes familiarizing students with one another and the new facility, among several other measures. Also included in the plan is the recruitment of teachers. Deanne Hillman, Director of Human Resources, said the district has six recruiting events planned throughout February and March. We are exploring all options. As you know, there's a teacher shortage, Hillman said. Nothing is different at this time in recruiting teachers for Montessori and other teachers that we have open. Trained teachers and staff will not have to reapply for their positions, said Denise Southward. Swartout, Chief Communications Officer. Students could keep their current teacher for the remainder of the three-year cycles. Swartout said the district will work with Schomburg Executive Search from Hazard Young, Aetna, and Associates, which will complete a national search for the Montessori School's principal. Garfield Principal Mary Anderson and Enterprise Principal Mary Ann Matheson will have the options to apply for the role, but under the district's new plan, there will be only one principal and an assistant principal. They are a neutral third party that will come in. They are going to talk with you, our stakeholders, Swarthout said. They want to do surveys, interviews, focus groups to know exactly what you're looking for. She said the company would use the information to find the candidates best suited for the position who has Montessori experience. Hillman said the requirements for the position would include having a master's degree with training in administrative supervision and curriculum development, an Illinois certificate with supervisory or administrative endorsements is also required. The current job description is not specific to Montessori, Hillman said. We announced the leadership structure now so that people knew we were going to do this approach, Frego said. The district did not allow a time for questions after the presentation and asked that all concerns be submitted by email. Officials did ask the crowd to participate in a digital survey where they could answer prompts on their cell phones. Results appear in real time during the meeting on a projector. When asked to list concerns, the two most common that appeared on the screen were stability and consistency. Phil Schills, parent of an Enterprise student, said he was angry about how the meeting was handled because he thought it was supposed to be an open discussion. My concern is that the board superintendent and assistant superintendent are not making decisions transparently and with the best interests of this community in mind, Schills said. They are not taking into consideration budgetary or practical issues. The Board of Education meets tonight at 6:30 in the Kiel Administration Building at 101 West Cerro Gordo Street. Decatur native wins Grammy. Craig Brown honored for contribution to Best Opera Recording. Decatur native Andrew Craig Brown received a Grammy on Sunday night for his contribution to the Best Opera Recording of Fantastic Mr. Fox. The Cerro Gordo High School and Millikan University graduate is currently living in Chicago, but with the coveted music award on his shelf, he is contemplating future opportunities outside of Illinois. Brown said the Grammy nomination was a surprise. It was a shock and humbling and inspiring, he said. The award has spurred a renewed enthusiasm for music in Brown. After he graduated from Millikan in 2009, he went on to receive his master's degree in opera from Yale University. I got a manager right out of the gate, he said about his career. He sang professionally for about 5 years. Then, about 3 years ago, I stopped singing and became a full-time mechanic, Brown said. He said he learned mechanical skills from his father. Brown said he thought of the job as a hobby. When I had a gap in performing, I would work on cars, he said, but the job security was nice. During his break from music, Brown said he learned the importance of working hard every day. I'm going to be able to take that back to music, he said. Before he decided to take a hiatus from music, Brown recorded the future Grammy-winning album in 2014. As the years passed, he said he had almost forgotten about it. Brown, along with the other performers, waited for the project to be finished. I thought maybe it was really bad, he said. The recording was finally released to the public in 2019. Fantastic Mr. Fox was written by Tobias Pickner and recorded by Brown and others with the Boston Modern Orchestra Project. It took a long time for it to get ready, Brown said. The Grammy nominations gave Brown the motivation to return to music professionally. Now I'm thinking about the future, he said. Brown plans to begin training in New Mexico this summer for a performance in Amarillo, Texas. But the excitement of the Grammys is still with me. The conductor and four performers, including Brown, accepted the award Sunday afternoon at the Microsoft Theater in Los Angeles. The Fantastic Mr. Fox cast were given their award at the premiere award ceremony, which was not televised. The recipients were, however, allowed to attend the broadcast at the Staples Center. It was maybe 40 feet from the stage, Brown said. It was very... Attackers take man's pants, shoes, say police. Decatur. A 19-year-old man told officers two men beat him up, threatened him with knives and a gun, and stole his shoes and pants Sunday night, police say. Decatur Police Sergeant Chris Copeland said the man told police two men and a woman picked him up at his Mount Zion home at around 9 p.m. They arrived at a residence in the 1,000 block of West Wood Street. He said he only knew them by their first names. The 19-year-old told officers when he got out of the vehicle, the two men attacked him and held knives to his leg and neck and what felt like a handgun to his back. Copeland said the man removed the 19-year-old's pants and shoes before getting back in the vehicle and leaving. Copeland said the officers recovered two knives from the scene. The 19-year-old had muddy clothing and a ripped sweatshirt and a cut below his left eye. The incident is under investigation by the Decatur Police Department. Decatur. Police say man steals grandmother's debit card, drains account. Police said 4-year-old Decatur man who stole his grandmother's debit card took $765 out of her account in less than 24 hours. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police said the card and theft occurred June 2nd, and the officers found and arrested the grandson Friday night. He was booked on a preliminary charge of unlawful use of a debit card. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. The affidavit said the woman noted she had $865.90 in her bank account on June 1st, and she found she had just $100 left when she checked the balance the next day. A check of Macon County jail records Monday night showed the man remained in custody in lieu of bail, set at $4,400, which means he must post $440 in bond to get. HSHS St. Mary's sets February 14th for Chocolate Extravaganza. The Chocolate Extravaganza sale will begin at 7 a.m. Friday, February 14th, in the HSHS St. Mary's Hospital lobby. Along with various chocolate foods, customers can purchase raffle tickets for a chance to win 4 St. Louis Cardinal tickets and an overnight stay. Raffle tickets are $5 each for 3 or 10 or 3 for $10. The event is sponsored by the Auxiliary of HSHS St. Mary's Hospital. Police struggle to get fired workers to leave Decatur. A fired Decatur restaurant employee who refused to leave the building ended up being shot with a stun gun and physically forced out in a struggle that left several police officers injured, according to a sworn affidavit. Decatur police said the violent incident happened Friday afternoon at Culver's at 2994 North Water Street after the 21-year-old male worker had been terminated due to his behavior. Police were called when he refused to go, and officers said they warned him he would face arrest if he didn't comply, but the warning had no effect. Police officer Aaron Justice said the man was then told to put his hands behind his back prior to arrest, which he refused to do, and he then began pulling away from officers. Multiple pressure points and deployment of the taser were ineffective in gaining compliance from him. Justice said, upon going back to physical contact with him, officers were able to get him into handcuffs. During the incident, officers received injuries as a result of the resistance, including pain and swelling to a right knee and an abrasion to an officer's hand. The man was booked on preliminary charges of aggravated resisting police and criminal trespass. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney. He remained held in Macon County Jail until Monday night, in lieu of bail set at $9,400, which requires him to post a $940 bond out. The manager at Culver's declined to comment on the incident when contacted by the Herald and Review. And now to the sports section. Streaking Illini move into top 20. Illinois ranked 19th after 6 straight wins. Champaign. Fresh off a dramatic last-second victory against Michigan on Saturday, the Illinois men's basketball team has moved up to number 19 in the most recent Associated Press poll. It's the third straight week of being ranked for the Illini, 15-5, 7-2. Who have won 6 games in a row and host Minnesota at 6:30 p.m. Thursday. Illinois won 2 road games last week, a rarity in the Big Ten, including a win at Purdue on Tuesday and its first win at Mackey Arena since 2008. The Illini are tied with Michigan State for first place in the Big Ten. The Illini have been tied for first place in a conference since January 31, 2006. There's more to do, sophomore guard Io DuSamo said after hitting the game-winning jumper against Michigan State on Saturday. He's averaging 17 points, 5.3 rebounds, and 4.8 assists on 50% shooting 37.5% on three-pointers and 94.7% from the free throw line during his six-game winning streak. "We're not done," DeSalmo said. "Coach Chin, Coleman, made a great point," he said. "We didn't come this far to come this far. We made it. We want to do bigger and better. Senior guard Andres Feliz seconded that notion. "First place is nice, but just two games separate first place from seventh place. It's different," Feliz said. "For us, being the number one team in the league is a different feeling, but that's not enough for us. We're going to keep going, fighting, and trying to win it all. That's our goal." Coburn wins Big Ten Freshman of the Week again. Illinois freshman Kofi Coburn has been named Big Ten Freshman of the Week, the conference office announced Monday. This is now the seventh Big Ten Freshman of the Week accolade for Coburn. He expands his school record for the most honors by an Illini dating back to 2010-11, when the league began honoring a weekly outstanding freshman performer. It is tied for the second most freshman of the week awards by any Big Ten player, and the most since 2014-15, when Ohio State's D'Angelo Russell was also honored seven times during the season. He averaged 13.5 points and 9 rebounds with 1.5 blocks in a pair of road victories where Illinois went 2-0. Kobe's second act cut tragically short. Kobe Bryant was barely a few years into his post-NBA life when he was suddenly cut short in a helicopter crash so unimaginable that we had to keep reminding ourselves it actually did happen. The greats just aren't supposed to die like that. It's so overwhelming, and it's difficult to process the thought that Kobe is really gone and that his 13-year-old daughter died alongside him. At the age of 41, he was awaiting certain induction into the Hall of Fame after a brilliant career with the Los Angeles Lakers. He had already won an Oscar in his post-basketball work as a film producer, written a book, and started another as a mentor to a number of NBA players. What really put a sparkle in his eyes, though, was a group of girls just entering their teenage years. They were the Mambas, and one of the greatest players in basketball history was one of their coaches. "The girls are making incredible progress," he told an interviewer last year. "Just wait until you see us in 6 years." Those 6 years were going to be magical. They had to be, because almost everything Bryant threw himself into turned out that way. An Oscar for his film, maybe a Pulitzer for his book, and of course, a lot of wins for his daughter Gianna's AAU team. Maybe that's why there was such a big smile on his face as he sat courtside last June for a season opener of the WNBA's Las Vegas Aces. He talked to an inquiring reporter about being happy in retirement because he could spend more time with his family, and about the things he saw on the court in front of him that day. "Their skill set, their athleticism," he said. "It's really a beautiful game to watch." So, of course, was any game Dad played in. Buy a ticket to watch Bryant on the basketball court, and you could always get your money's worth. He won 5 NBA titles with a revolving cast of characters in Los Angeles, but it was more than that. He won over the town by being everything he could be. Every night, he laced his sneakers up. A fan told the story on Twitter about going to the florist Sunday to get purple and gold flowers to take to the impromptu memorial that quickly grew at the Staples Center. The woman behind the counter gave him the flowers but refused to take money. "It's L.A.," she said. Now he's gone, before we could witness what was coming next, and Los Angeles and the basketball world will never be the same. There are people in Pittsburgh who still tear up at the memory of the day in 1972 when Pirates superstar Roberto Clemente died in a plane crash while he was delivering aid to earthquake victims in Nicaragua. There are people around the world who will grieve deeply just as long now that Kobe Bryant is no longer with us. Clemente's legacy lives on a half century later, driven both by the memory of his spectacular play and the fact that he while on humanitarian missions. His name also lives on his native Puerto Rico, where buildings and parks and baseball fields are named after. Auto racing fans still talk about Dale and Earnhardt's nearly two decades after his death in at the Daytona 500. Earnhardt's death was widely credited with safety advantages that have helped him limit the carnage in auto racing in recent years. Bryant's legacy is more complicated, and not just because of the 2003 sexual assault charges in Colorado that some have never forgiven him for. While the basketball stuff is written in the record books, Bryant seemed determined in his second act of life to do more with his life. He wanted to show the world he was more than just a basketball player. He wanted to erase the stain of what happened in Colorado nearly two decades ago. That meant producing films and writing books, something Bryant couldn't have imagined when he was drafted as an 18-year-old high school basketball player. It also meant being on the court with his daughter and her friends and telling anyone who would listen that the girls played basketball too. He had no interest in coaching in the NBA, but the WNBA surely intrigued him. Indeed, it wouldn't have been hard to imagine Bryant, the father of four girls, not only being involved in the league, but also finding ways to help him make it far more successful. We'll never know how the second act would have played out. Okay. Going to take State sees 7% increase in abortions in year. Chicago. Abortions in Illinois increased about 7% from 2017 to 2018, mostly from residents of the state who were seeking the procedure, according to Health Department. The Illinois Department of Public Health recently released figures for 2018. The Chicago Tribune reported, the annual Illinois abortion report shows 42,441 pregnancies were terminated statewide in 2018, up from 39,329 in 2017. Many abortion opponents link the increase to a state law that went into effect in 2018, expanding taxpayer subsidies for abortions. The law allows the state health insurance and Medicaid coverage for abortions and also made sure that abortions remain legal. We know that abortions would continue to increase as taxpayer funding of abortions took hold, but seeing an increase of nearly 4,000 more Illinois babies aborted is shocking, former Republican State Representative Peter Breen said. Illinois has become the abortion capital of the Midwest. However, many abortion rights supporters say it's impossible to attribute the increase to any particular cause. We have no way of knowing how many Medicaid patients would have been able to have an abortion if it were not covered, and how many would have been forced to continue their pregnancies if they did not have coverage, said Bridget Leahy, Senior Director of Public Policy with Planned Parenthood of Illinois. The Illinois figures also show a slight increase in the number of women who come from other states for the procedure, with 5,066 being out of state. Despite the 2018 increase in Illinois, the overall rate of abortions has drastically decreased in the past three decades, according to state data, around 50,000 or more pregnancies were terminated annually in the mid-90s. I'm going to take a short break now. This is the Decatur Herald and Review for January 28th, 2020, and I will be back in a few minutes. Enjoy the break.